Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Yud Beis, the 12th chapter of the first book of Divrei Hayamim. Our Perek is made up of 41 psukim and is divided into two basic sections. The first section up to Parsuk Chof Gimel is about the warriors who joined David, and the second section is the delegation of elders and soldiers who came to coronate David. These are two different time periods, and there are no parallel prakim in Sefer Shmuel or Malachim that resemble this. Yes, we do hear about when this happens in Sefer Shmuel, but we do not actually have the parallel psukim in Sefer Shmuel. So this is really new material. So the first section, which is essentially psukim Aleph to Chaf Gimel, is about four groups of giborim, of people who came to David HaMelech to augment him, to join his forces. And the first group from Sukkim Aleph to Ches is the group of Achei Shaul, the brothers of Shaul, who we're told are Noshkei Keshes, Maiminim, Masmilim, Bavonim. They're slingers and archers. They all come to join them, and it's a list of the names of those leaders who joined them. The second group is the Giborim from Gad. These are the people on Transjordan. We hear about from Sukkim Tes to Zion. We hear about how they come. They are fierce people. Pnei Aryeh Pneihem. Their faces are the faces of lions. We hear about their names. And we're told that they cross the Jordan in the first month. That's at Nisan. And it's very full. It's been after the rainy season. And they're able to do it. Vayavrichu es kol ha'amakim la'mizrach v'la'ma'arav. And they're able to cover the depths from the east to the west. So that's what we hear about the second group. The third group is the Giborim from Yehuda and Binyamin. This is from Sukkim Yud Zayin to Yud Tes. And David HaMelech comes out to greet them, and he turns to him and he says, "Are you coming to trick me, or are you coming to help me? Hashem should decide between the two of you." And the leader of them, whose name is Amosai, who is the Rosh HaShalishim, gets up and he says, "Imcha ben David ben Yishai, shalom, shalom lecha, v'shalom le'azrecha, kira azarecha elakecha. Peace is with you, because Hashem has helped you." And David HaMelech accepts this group. Should be noted, just as an aside, David HaMelech has been betrayed by his own brethren. The Ziphim, who actually came from the tribe of Yehuda, did betray David HaMelech's whereabouts to Shaul, so you can understand David HaMelech's concern about these people joining him. And finally, we have the group of those from Menashe. They join David HaMelech as well, and they bring an entire group to David HaMelech. What is interesting about this is to notice the chiastic structure, in the sense that the first and fourth group, so that means to say those from Shaul and Menashe, join David when he's in the area of Tziklag, and those who are in the middle, in groups 2 and 3, join David HaMelech when he is in the Midbar. What are those two stages in David HaMelech's life? So David HaMelech, when he realizes that Shaul, his father-in-law, really means business and means to eradicate him, what he does is he has to flee, and he starts off by sending his parents off to Moab for safeguarding, and he then is a refugee in the desert in Midbar Yehuda. He feels safer in his own territorial tribal area. However, it turns out that Shaul HaMelech is out to get him as spies, and there's some very close misses where Shaul almost gets David, to the point that he almost entirely surrounded him on a mountain, and David HaMelech narrowly made it out, at which point David HaMelech has no choice, but he goes under pretense to be a renegade, and he goes to Achish, the king of Gat, who's a Philistine, out of the area of Gaza, and he pretends to join forces with the Philistines. And Achish, trusting David at this point, realizing that David HaMelech is at odds with the king Shaul and his reason to be a renegade, and gives him the city called Ziklag. This is down southeast Israel, in the Philistine territories, and David HaMelech does day raids on the Amalekim and the tribes of the south and pretends that he's actually attacking Israelites. Fascinating story, and that's the second stage. So we hear two of these groups join David HaMelech earlier on in the times of Midbar Yehuda, and then we hear about two groups joining David HaMelech later on in the area of Ziklag. It's interesting that the brothers of Shaul join David HaMelech. And Rashi points out this is a sign of the greatness of David, that even during the life of Shaul, his own brethren are joining David as a sign that they know that he really is to the king to be. Why is it important that we hear about the weapons of the children of Shaul, of Achei Shaul? We hear about them being slingers and archers. So it's actually interesting that if you trace through Tanakh, Binyamin has a very unique ability, and that is that they are both left-hand swordsmen, and they are archers, two very adept military capabilities which bring them much success. As an example, the Shofet Ehud Ben Ger was a left-hand swordsman, which is how he was able to kill the king of Eglon. We know in Pilegesh Begiva, when there's a civil war at the end of Sefer Shoftim, we know that the tribe of Binyamin have these young men who are archers, which make them more harder to attack, which is why Binyamin is successful in the first day, 2 days of battle, killing tens of thousands of Israelites. And Rashi even points out that that's why it was that when Shaul HaMelech was being chased down by the Philistines, he was being targeted by the archers, almost a midah keneged midah, commensurate with his actions, that his the greatest asset that Binyamin had, which was this military ability, was what was actually chasing him down in the end. It's interesting that it talks about how when the Bnei Gad come from Transjordan, they chase away the Amakim. What does it mean they chase away the Amakim? So the Mefarshei HaPshat, like the Ralbag, say that what it means is that they were able to, they used branches and beams, brechim, to cross the Jordan while it was at its fullest. So they found narrow airways, they were able to do this. Rashi suggests even more creatively that they used their shields to hold off the water, almost in a miraculous way. That's how strong they were to be able to go across on dry land. However, there's another way of looking at this, and the Malbim suggests that, in fact, the Rashi also brings us as a Yesh Omrim, that, in fact, they attacked the Amakim, which means the lowlanders, that even while they were coming to David HaMelech, they were very strong, they were able to stave off into these lowlanders. Who are these lowlanders? So you heard earlier on in Sefer Dira Yamim that they were able, during the times of Shaul HaMelech, to attack the Hagrim, which is these are Arab tribes there, and take their territory. This is referring to those group of Bnei Gad who were able to succeed militarily in that campaign, now joined David HaMelech. When the group of Yehuda comes to him and David HaMelech distrusts them, the first person to come out is Amosai. Who is Amosai? So the Malbim explains that he is the nephew of David. He is the son of his sister, not his wife, but his sister Avigail. She comes in, but David HaMelech still has a deep distrust from anybody because of his experiences. It is interesting to notice that the way he expresses himself, Amosai puts it, is Shalom, Shalom Lecha. You have so much peace, which means the Mitzvah says that no matter how Shaul has tried, no matter how far he has gone to try to capture you, you've always succeeded. Hashem is obviously on your side, and we're going to defect, even though it's against the king, to be on your side at this point in time. That Pasuk, Shalom, Shalom Lecha, Shalom Lozrecha, is a very important Pasuk. The Gemara in Gittin points out on Samach Bayez, on Aleph, that it's important when greeting a king, you greet a king with Shalom twice, like Amosai did. Extra piece. It's also interesting that it appears in the Motzei Shabbos davening in the Vayita Necha as a description of the importance of peace. Very, very beautiful pasuk which appears here in Direi Yom and Perikid Beis. What does it mean that Menashe fell upon him? If you look at the words that it describes that Menashe joined him, it says Menashe naflu al David. So the Mefarshim explain, the Malbim explains that what happened was that when David HaMelech tried to join the war effort, he actually volunteered to join the Philistines against Shaul. Whether that was a bluff or not, the Philistines dismissed him and said, we can't have him in our ranks. And he returns to Ziklag to find that Ziklag has been looted and burnt down by the Amalekim, and he goes in pursuit. It was at that point in time that there was a group of soldiers from Menashe who were coming to help the armies of Shaul, but when they saw David HaMelech, they joined his armies instead. That's referring to this fourth group over here. Then the last part of the Perek is really one group. It's just one grouping of the elders, a delegation of the elders who came to coronate David HaMelech. Eile Misperei, Roshei, Cholutz, Latzava, Boal, David, Chevrona. These are all the officers who came to David, Lahasev, Malchus, Shaul, Elov, Kafi, Hashem, to turn the Malchus, the reign, to David, like Hashem spoke about. And we hear leaders from all the tribes. We hear from Yehuda, Shimon, Binyamin, Ephraim, Chatzishev, Menashe, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Dani, Asher, Reuven and Gad, and the other half of the tribe of Menashe all come together to coronate David. And we hear about the numbers of soldiers they bring with them, and they all come to converge upon Hebron to bring David HaMelech as the king. And we hear about everybody being Lev Echad, one heart, Lamliches David, to coronate David HaMelech. And they're eating and drinking for 3 days, and everybody's there, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. They're all eating, and it's Ki Simcha B'Yisrael. There was a great Simcha in Israel at this point in time. This is obviously a very important watershed moment in Dira Yamim's history, which we've been building up to, is the coronation of David and how it was done in united fashion. We don't rarely see this kind of coordination. Of all the 12 tribes represented, it's interesting to note that we start off in the south and move our way up north and then east. So in the way that they settled. So first Yehuda and Shimon, and then all the way up to the north and then across the Jordan. If you do the counting of how many people came, we're talking about a group of over 340,000 people and soldiers. That's a very big operation. And this is obviously gives you a sign of how significant this moment was for Israel. There's obviously an environment of unity and cohesion, which is being emphasized numerous times in this section of the Perek from Chof Dalet to Mem Aleph. What's the connection between these two parashiyos, between these two sections in the Perek? They are at different time periods. The first parashiyah is when David HaMelech is a refugee. He has a small holdout of men, and he is greeted. So at this point, he's being pursued by Shaul. He's being approached by the Giborim of various different tribes. But David HaMelech is somewhat distrustful of their loyalties at first, and it's not a full convergence upon David. We only hear about four different tribes joining him. This next, but the last parasha, which is the second half of our perek, is really a number at least 8 years later, when Shaul HaMelech is dead, and Ish-bosheth, his son, has been murdered, and David HaMelech is now going to become the king. Now the Giborim come to David, and it's all the Shvatim, it's not just four Shvatim, and they all come together, united, and they're trusted by David HaMelech. This is really the full journey of David HaMelech's acceptance, and it's worthwhile to note that David HaMelech had many opportunities to push the agenda of his Malchus further and earlier, and he never did. He never tried to kill Shaul, he never tried to kill Ish-bosheth, he never did anything which would expedite his taking the kingship, even though he was already anointed by Shaul HaMelech, and it paid off, because in the end of the day, when the people came to him, it was an absolute unity, in absolute numbers, to show that David HaMelech is really Melech Chai V'Kayam, that he should be truly the king of Israel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.